Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome aboard right now. Mike Johnson, Backroads Sports Network, college football analyst, joins us now. Hey, Mike, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bro.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you guys having me on again.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. You know, when you look at what we witnessed here in the national semifinals, do you think it should bring about any sort of change for the selection committee?
I absolutely do not. I've been a part of seeing these kind of things in the last year, just like everybody else has. And I was a fan of the BCS. I played, you know, when the BCS system was in. We were one of the final two teams to be able to put in. And I think really when you look at the four that were put in, there's always going to be arguments, right? I mean, we're always going to go back and forth. We're always going to have ups and downs. There's always going to be people out there that use hindsight and say Notre Dame wasn't this or Oklahoma wasn't that. But you have to look at the whole body of work. You have to look at what they did all season. You can't look at what teams were at the very end and say, hey, you know what, this team wasn't very good or this team was too good or this team was great. I just think it's one of those situations where you look at the information you have at hand. I understood exactly why the committee did what they did. I think a one-loss Notre Dame would have been left out. I think an undefeated Notre Dame had to be in. And I think they're doing the best they can. I don't think you expand to six. I don't think you expand to eight. I didn't love the fact that you expanded to four. I wish the national semifinal games would have been home games because I think you're taking away from really being ranked one and two in those final things going into the postseason. So, you know, there's always going to be arguments, guys, and that's one of the fun things about college football is you can be objective, and you still come out with different things than everybody else thinks across the country. But the fact of the matter is, for all the changes we've put in for the last 4 years, it sure does seem like we're getting a lot of the same things, and that Alabama-Clemson matchup right around the corner once again should be a good one.
Yeah, well, speaking on that right there, Mike, so, okay, Alabama-Clemson, again, in your opinion, good or bad for the game?
Well, I mean, as a Bama guy, I love it.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Of course, right? I mean, this matchup, you know?
Yeah. No, I absolutely understand what you mean. I think it's great for the game. You know, the TV ratings are still huge in most of these football games when it's being done right. I think a lot of intrigue is being given to Alabama-Clemson. And honestly, I think you really have to start looking at this game, this Alabama-Clemson game, after this weekend as one of the great rivalries in the history of the sport. I mean, I know that people roll their eyes and say, oh, it's short-lived, and it's just 2-1 Alabama here in recent years. But, man, neither one of these programs are going anywhere. And I think the more and more these teams continue to build and continue to recruit at a high level and continue to play at a high level, I think it's been incredible. And I think when you look back at the history of most sports, when you have games like this, when you have teams that are facing off against each other in Super Bowls or in postseason NFL or in baseball, that's what's great for the sport. And so I know there's a lot of fan bases around college football. There's 128 other fan bases that want to see new blood in the national title game. But I think there's a lot of intrigue involved because I think no matter what you see and what team you want to be there, you have to respect the athleticism and the talent that will be on the field when Alabama faces off against Clemson. It's the best of the best. They've been the best of the best the entire year. Everybody expected this. The storyline surrounding the quarterbacks and everything else going throughout the season have been crazy big. And I understand it, man. People get so tired of it. You know, I have people talk to me all the time and say, you know what? I just want somebody else in there. I'm tired of seeing the same old thing. But the nature of the beast in college football is if you can do it, you can keep doing it well. You're going to find yourself in those postseason games at the end of the year with a chance to win it all, and that's what these two teams have done consistently.
Yeah, who do you think has the edge going into the Monday night affair?
Well, you know, I think there's a number of different ways to slice it, and I'd be lying to you if I didn't sound like a homer. I mean, I just think that Bama's so good. And I've looked at this game a million different ways. I was in the building last year in the Sugar Bowl. I was in Tampa the year before that. I was in Phoenix the year before that when these teams faced off. You know, I think that Clemson is very, very good. I think their defensive front is very, very good. I think they're going to give Alabama some real issues up front. But I saw an Alabama offensive line last year that I don't think was as good as this year's offensive line. And they had a lot of success against that Clemson defensive front. And so, obviously, Kelly Bryant last year in that Sugar Bowl game against, you know, these two teams are completely different now. But you had Kelly Bryant against Jalen Hurts in the Sugar Bowl last year. And you know, Clemson wasn't able to mount much of an offense. And they weren't able to do much things. So I know Trevor Lawrence is a lot different. I know he's a guy who has a ton of arm talent. His receivers and their ability to go up and get the ball, I think, is what differentiates Clemson from a lot of Alabama's opponents. But, guys, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to tell me that a true freshman quarterback in a national title game, a pocket passing quarterback, is going to go out and beat a Nick Saban defense, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. That's just the facts of the matter. I've seen some incredible performances by Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks throughout the years that have played Alabama and, you know, have come up short. And you've seen Johnny Manziel able to knock them off, or Cam Newton back, you know, a while back. But Trevor Lawrence is a unique talent. True freshman going into this game as a pocket passer, man. I'm going to have to see it to believe it. I really am. I think he's incredible. I think he's one of the best true freshmen that have ever played. But that storyline, for him to be able to do it the same way Deshaun Watson did a couple of years ago, to me, just leaves me asking more questions than I think Clemson can answer at this point. So my edge goes to Alabama. Call me a homer, call me whatever you want to. I just think they're too good to be beat right now with what they've got going on.
No, Mike, it'd be tough to argue with that, no doubt. I mean, but speaking again on Trevor Lawrence, though, the young QB, the freshman quarterback there, Clemson, you know, would you agree, though, like he plays, if you watch him, you know, man, like each game his poise is more and more and more. It almost, it's like it doesn't feel like he's a freshman. Like he just plays with that much poise. I mean, do you get that feeling from him? Or does he still feel like a young buck out there to you? Just watching.
No, I absolutely get that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, he plays like a veteran quarterback. And not only just his poise, because I think his poise has been incredible. And you guys, listen, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. He's from right down the street from where I'm at, and Clemson's not far from here. I've had a chance to watch him, and I've had a chance to kind of follow his career. He and Justin Fields both, right around this Atlanta area, coming out being number one and number two quarterbacks in last year's class. Being able to watch him, I mean, his poise really is incredible. I think what I mean in terms of a true freshman quarterback going up against Alabama is the way that Nick Saban and Tosh Lupoi are able to disguise what their defensive scheme is.
Right,
and
right.
I think that's something you don't understand until you get there. And they're the best in the business at it. Nick Saban has always been the best in the business of, hey, I'm going to, you know, they run a pattern matching scheme, kind of a hybrid of a zone and a man coverage back on that defense. And a lot of times, you don't get to diagnose that before the ball is snapped. So I think that Trevor Lawrence, at least for the first quarter, first two quarters, I think his head's going to be spinning a little bit, particularly if they cannot establish some type of running game against Alabama's front seven. So I think he plays with incredible poise. I think he plays like a veteran quarterback. I think he's got all the tools. And I think when he decides to come out, he's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft. But for right now, having not seen it, having not seen a defense like that, I will be incredibly impressed if he's able to come out and put up the, you know, similar statistics to what he's done for most of the season.
You know, I'm curious, Mike, do you think college football has got a problem with the impact that we put on the two national semifinals, of the importance that now we're supposed to place on these other quote unquote major bowl games, and the fact that we see guys not playing, disinterest, stuff like that, down performances? I mean, Georgia, that wasn't the same Georgia team that we saw last night as we saw in the SEC championship game. You know, when you look at it, do you think that's a problem when you look at these other bowls outside the national semifinals? Is the interest when they realize a national title's not on the line?
Yeah, you know, listen, I was a part of, you know, an Alabama team in 2008, and I got hurt down in the Sugar Bowl, but we lost to Florida in the SEC title game, and we went on to play Utah in the Sugar Bowl, and it looked a lot like that Georgia-Texas game did last night, where you lose an SEC championship and all of a sudden it seems like you don't really care, you're not paying attention, and you go down and there's Bourbon Street, and you know the coaches are trying to get a, you know, a curfew to let you enjoy yourselves a little bit but also focus on the game. It's tough. You know, to me, guys, and I tweeted about this a little bit yesterday, there's a little bit of a hypocrisy going on with the way we look at college football bowl games right now. And to me, and I'm kind of going to veer off track a little bit here, but watching some of the targeting calls yesterday and these kids get ejected, it makes me nauseous.
That LSU game was crazy. That was nuts.
Well, we're ejecting kids out of a football game for one mistake. That really, there's nothing malicious behind some of these hits. Now, I know people out there say they've got to change the way they think, got to change the way they tackle. But if you look at a baseball game and you throw a pitcher out the first time he hits a batter, that's really what we're dealing with here. And I think that if we're going to place importance on these kids playing in these bowl games, we've got to find a way to keep these kids in these football games. You look at that LSU football game, like you said, there's wide receivers playing corner at the end of the football game. Guys are getting kicked out. Guys are leaving. I think a lot of things have been pushed in the right direction, allowing some of the red-shirted kids to play in the these bowl games. But to me, there's just a hint of hypocrisy where you want these bowl games to mean something, and you want these kids to show up and give everything they want. And then at the end of the day, if they miss by a couple of inches and accidentally hit a guy's face mask, there's no malicious intent, but they're spending the rest of the time watching it from the locker room. And to me, it's a little bit ridiculous. I think I want to see those rules change. I definitely think that there's something wrong with the system. I don't know what the answer is to bring it back around. Kids are going to start doing what they want for themselves. Maybe it's a microcosm of some of the things we see in society today, but I think that's what you've created with the semifinal games. I wish that they would do something like put these semifinals on campus or, kind of move some other things around. I don't know what the answer is. You've kind of created this beast now where it seems like a great thing when you watch a semifinal, but some of the other games just don't seem to stack up when you watch them on television.
Yeah, we Moose and I had a pretty heavy discussion about this earlier. It's interesting to see how it happens. What happens sometimes with these other games. The season is long for these guys, and if they're not in that, like if you're looking at Georgia, right? They were tweeting about it. They had to be pissed off because Notre Dame's in that thing, and Notre Dame gets blown out. They're not in that game, and then they go and play Texas and get spanked last night. But I want to ask you real quick, man, Mike, about the defensive line that without Dexter Lawrence, obviously it's a problem a little bit for Clemson. But with Wilkins and Farrell and Bryant, these guys are tremendous. I mean, what kind of scheming you think? I'm sure that OU line is excellent. That offensive line is excellent. There's probably different scheming around, right, to fix, to prevent, I should say, that pressure putting on Tua or in that backfield by Wilkins, Farrell, and Bryant.
Yeah, guys, you know what's interesting, too, and I try to tell people a lot of times when I talk about Nick Saban-coached football teams is that we don't – the players at Alabama are not part of really game planning for specific players. And what I mean by that is, when you're in the NFL, when I play for the Falcons, you see Julius Peppers, line up across from you and you say, okay, on these protections, we're going to make sure we get somebody help to block Julius Peppers, right? We're going to make sure we get somebody help to slide over and block, some of the all-pro players. Alabama players are not part of that game plan. Nick Saban doesn't want to put a name on some of the players because he just expects that if you play a left tackle, guess what? You go out and block the defensive end. Right. That's just how it is at Alabama. There's no special game planning with the players. Now, I know behind closed doors that the coaches are looking at this defensive line and saying, okay, maybe a few more slide protection. Tua needs to understand he needs to get the ball out early. We need some checkdowns and touchdowns, like coaches used to say. But I don't think there will be anything specific. And I think that what Alabama did last year, they ran right at Clemson's defensive front. They really challenged the linebackers to not be a part of helping the run game with throwing over the top of them. And I think you'll see a similar game plan, some slide protection, a lot of RPOs being thrown in there, and Tua getting the ball out of his hands into the flat to hit guys like Damian Harris and Najee Harris and allow them to do different things in the passing game as well. So, it's tough to say. And Clemson's defensive front, they're going to have success. 100% they're going to have success. But I think Alabama's offensive line is pretty dang good. I mean, when you look at even the loss of Deontay Brown, the left guard, Lester Cotton played very well at the left guard position back in the semifinal. I think they'll fare pretty well. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I don't expect it to be a blowout either way. And I think the line of scrimmages are going to have a lot to do with how this game pans out in the end.
Mike Johnson, college football analyst, Back Roads Sports Network. Hey, Mike, enjoy the championship game on Monday night, and we appreciate all the time this morning. Happy New Year, right, bud?
Hey, guys, always a pleasure, man. Roll Tide, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.